Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Church say amen again.
Amen.
And one more time for the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, saints. What a wonderful service we have had so far, isn't it, Ben? Our super senior choir has blessed us mightily and abundantly. And I don't know about you, but I take seriously Exodus 20, verse number 12, that says, honor your mother and your father, that your days may be long upon the land of the Lord thy God giveth unto. These are our mothers and our fathers. And not just these in the choir, but these all over the sanctuary. All of you who are grandparents, and I'm not going to put an age limit on it, all of you who are grandparents, go ahead and stand up. We thank the Lord for each and every one of you. Amen.
Amen.
Somebody put your hands together, give God a praise offering for our grandparents. Amen. Got some excited new grandparents out there. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Now, what I do get a little concerned is if I have a grandmother who's under the age of 35. I'm praying about that one. Amen. And I say it half jokingly, but I'm serious. There are some grandparents out there who are 35 and 36 years old.
That's right. That's right.
And that simply says to me that our generations are not gleaning as much as they used to from past generations. Because I don't think our teenagers today are prepared to be the kind of parents that our children need them to be.
That's right.
And so I hope we can move that figure back into where grandparents have lived ripe lives. And then the great blessing of being a grandparent is you can take those grandkids, love them, and give them right back to them parents.
Amen.
Amen, somebody.
Amen.
But sadly today, I've got too many kids whose mamas and daddies can't do. And so they are relying on their grandparents to take care of them. Again, another sign of the age in which we are living. And so as we honor grandparents today, there's a lot that goes into this for our community of African descent and across America as well. So we bless the Lord for you today, and we thank God for that which has already taken place in our service by song. Sister Davy took me back to my young ages, amen, and lifted up a beautiful, beautiful song. And thanks to God, and thanks be to God for this choir, and to Mother Nelson, anointed woman of God. Give God a praise offering for her. Amen. We haven't officially kind of named who's mothers and who's not and all that good stuff, but out of respect, I call anointed seniors such as Leela Nelson, this mother, out of love and respect.
Amen.
Because she is an anointed woman of God. Let me say something about this wonderful mother of the Lord. She is in an online PTS course earning a certificate in theology and ministry.
Amen.
From Princeton Theological Seminary.
Amen.
Somebody better give God a praise offering. You are never too old to learn. Amen. So she is a lifelong learner, and I bless the Lord for her. And she is a part of an inaugural class of folk, about 18 Shallow members, who took this challenge on back in January. A full year of study, 6 sessions, 4 to 5 week sessions throughout the whole year. And I bless
Amen.
God that she is among them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Stand to your feet and turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Genesis. And we thank the Lord for the preaching of God's holy and divine word. And so as we have lifted up and thank God for the praises of God, for the prayers of God, I want to now move into the proclamation of God's holy and divine word. And certainly let me say a word about the tribute that took place earlier. And we thank God for that tribute to grandparents. Give God
Amen.
A praise offering for
Amen.
That. And also, not least, and last but not least, certainly is our senior anointed hands ministry.
Yes.
Give God a praise offering for our senior praise dancers. That's what they are. And I'll tell Mitzi and the crew, I love them. They've earned the right to be able to sit down and praise the Lord.
Amen.
But they had a little bit more movement today. Amen. And we thank the Lord for all that has taken place. Say amen when you've located Genesis chapter 14. Genesis chapter number 14. There is a word from the Lord we want to share with you today. And I want to start reading at verse number 1. And I'm going to skip a few verses because I'm not going to read all 24 of these verses. But I do want you to read it. And this is the text for today's sermon of proclamation. Verse 1 of chapter 14 says, "And it came to pass in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elasar, Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of nations, that they made war with Bera, king of Sodom, Birsha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Admah, Shemeber, king of Zebulun, and the king of Bela, that is Zoar. All these joined together in the valley of Sidim, that is the Salt Sea." I want you to go down to verse number 10. "Now the valley of Sidim was full of asphalt pits, and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled. Some fell there, and the remainder fled to the mountains. Then they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their provisions and went their way. They also took Lot's, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. Then one who had escaped came and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol and brother of Aner, and they were allies with Abram. And now when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his 318 trained servants who were born in his own house and went in pursuit as far as Dan." Here is the reading of God's divine and eternal word. "May it edify and sanctify the people of God." I want that you pray with me on the title of today's sermon: "Taking Back What Belongs to God." Taking back what belongs to God. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I pray that your word would not return void, but that it may accomplish that which you've intended for it to accomplish. May hearts be encouraged today. May minds be illuminated today. May souls be convicted today, O God. I pray that you would have your way. You're already here, God. We don't need to invite you. You're already here. You've already manifested your presence and your glory, your kabod in this place. Thank you for the anointing in this place. And now, Lord, give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you have ordained for us to receive on this Lord's day. We shall be careful to give you glory, praise, and honor. In the blessed, wonderful, and matchless name of Jesus, our Christ and Redeemer, let all of God's children say together, amen,
amen,
amen, and amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. In the next 24 or so minutes, I want to talk about what it means to pursue what belongs to God. God bless you, ushers. You may be seated. If you're like me, undoubtedly you will remember a lot of the prevalent TV shows that are cop TV shows of the late 60s, early 70s, and on into the 90s and the 21st century. Shows like Starsky and Hutch. How many of you watch Starsky and Hutch? Shows like Beretta and Columbo. How many of y'all watch Beretta? One of my favorites, and I know I may look a little young for this, was Hawaii 5-0. Amen. Dragnet. Listen, where I'm from. I'm from Los Angeles. It's where Hollywood is. And so a number of those early Hollywood cop shows were based in Los Angeles. Dragnet was about L.A. cops. Chips, California Highway Patrol. Who remember Eric Estrada? Pancho. Made me want to get a motorcycle. And then some of today's contemporary shows, the latest of which I watched and was very impressed with it, Boston's Finest. But shows like The Wire down in Baltimore and some of the most prevalent shows that have become almost, hit parades and generated spinoffs such as the CSI family of shows and the Law and Order families of shows. Y'all know your shows, amen. So I say that because I think we are fascinated as a culture, not with cop shows per se, but with the idea of good guys catching bad guys. At the heart of those shows is really this notion of good triumphing over evil, but good guys catching the bad guys. Now, I'm not the biggest fan of Hollywood when it comes to kind of political correctness and social. A lot of those early shows always showed the bad guys, usually black folk, right, being pursued by the good guys, usually white folk. And, right, that's the projection that we have to be careful because kids are forming their worldviews based on popular media.
That's right.
And so these shows and Hollywood has a responsibility to understand what it's projecting. But we have an even greater responsibility in the church to say, don't listen to the world, listen to what the Lord has to say.
Yes, yes.
We're in the world, but not of the world. Amen, somebody. And yet, so I cite that at the beginning of my sermon today because today's text is really inherently about the good guys catching the bad guys. It's about Abram who has learned of the plight of his nephew. The Bible calls Lot his brother's son, his nephew. In point of fact, in other places, the Bible calls Lot Abram's brother. And so there's a very interesting relationship there between Abram, who is fostering, almost like a foster child. I'm writing a book about foster children in the Bible, and I'm putting Lot in because we don't know much of anything about Lot's parents. But what we do know is that Abram, his uncle, came to his rescue and has raised him. And in today's text, you will see the young, impetuous young man by the name of Lot, who is caught up in some geopolitics, and his older uncle, we don't have Abram's age, but presumably older uncle, is coming to rescue him from the situation in which he finds himself. And so I thought it appropriate on Super Senior Sunday to don something from our African ancestry. I love my African attire, and so I was going to put on one of the robes. The Lord said, no, put this on. And so I, in memory of our foremothers and forefathers from Africa, we talked about Liberian Sunday last Sunday with Pastor Reeves. We had an international night looking at our experiences throughout the African diaspora, Africa, Caribbean, as well as around the world. And so today is the right time to pull all this together on Super Senior Sunday, Grandparents Day, time in which we are going back to school, having our children to look back where they've come from, standing on somebody's shoulder. How many of you know you don't get where you are because you are by yourself? You have stood and you are standing on somebody's shoulders. And so today's sermon is about an uncle who has taken up the responsibility of looking after his brother / nephew. And so I want to use these four words today to further ingratiate and engross us into the text. Because long after I've stopped preaching, I want you to keep going back to the Bible and saying, oh, wow, the preacher preached, but I didn't see that part. I want this to be a process of discovery for yourself as you exegete the word. Keep going back to the word of God, because that's what I am called to do. Not make you listen to me, but point you to the word of God and to the God of heaven and the God of earth. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
And so I want to use these four points today. I want to look at the predicament in which Lot and later his uncle Abram found themselves. I want to then move from the predicament and look at the pursuit of what Abram did in taking care of his nephew Lot. And then from the pursuit, I want to deal with the promise that Abram was making to God and that God made to Abram. And then lastly, I want to bring it all home by finalizing with my last point about the pronouncement what it means for us to pronounce who we are and whose we are, and never forgetting that you are a child of the Most High God. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
So if you give me these next 20 to 25 minutes, we will explicate and exegete the text together and see what the Lord would have for us on this Super Senior Sunday. Let me first talk about the predicament in which Lot and Abram find themselves. I read to you, now when I was younger, I used to come to this part of the Bible, I'd skip over it because I couldn't pronounce some of the words, number one. Number two, it just didn't really make sense to me. The king of Melchizedek, I knew a little bit about him. When I was a kid, I was always told that Melchizedek was tied into tithing, and you'll understand that when we get to the part. But early on in verses 1 through 5 and 6, all these names, the king of Ariad, the king of Arapahoe, and all of these different names didn't make sense. But as you know, I have been on a sermon series about Abram, looking at the life of Abram. We have been walking through Genesis 12 through 25, not necessarily in chronological order, but we're going to continue to move. I preached early on about Genesis 12 and the road that Abram found himself on from Haran to Cana, Shechem, and then from Shechem to the mountain east of Bethel, and then from there to Egypt, and then from Egypt back to where he found himself. I talked about what it means to journey. I talked about what it means to walk by faith. Abram was told to get to a place he didn't even know where he was going. Take the first step and I'll show you. How many of you know that now faith, right now, now faith is the substance of things so far, the evidence of things. Now, you don't always know where you're going, but I'm so glad you got a God who can look up ahead into your future and see what's about to happen and make provision for you. Somebody shout, thank you, Lord, right there. And then we talked a few weeks back about, or just like 2 weeks ago, about intersection. Some of you have said that sermon was particularly impactful for you, as many of you have found yourself at intersections of your ministry, intersections of your walk with God, intersections of your social life, your marital life, your professional life, and how do you deal with the intersections? And so God, and then I talked way back a month or so ago about Ishmael, out of Genesis chapter 16 and 17 and ending in 25, in which Abram's sons Isaac and Ishmael came together. And I still contend that Ishmael is paradigmatic. He is a paradigm for the lost children in America, many of whom are of African descent, because it is Isaac in the text that is the favorite child, but Ishmael was kicked into the wilderness into the uttermost parts, and yet God still said, I'm going to take care of Ishmael. And so today I want to keep building on this theme of the building blocks of the scriptures. You can understand what happens in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, 1st, 2nd Chronicles, 1st, 2nd Kings, 1st, 2nd Samuel, all into the prophets, all into the wisdom books, without understanding the first book of the Bible, which is Genesis. And you can't understand Genesis if you don't understand Abram, for he is the father of faith. And so with all of that as backdrop, Abram, as I've already said to you, has taken responsibility for looking after his brother's son, his nephew, Lot. And I spoke last week about intersection when Abram said, Lot, we've got to separate. But whatever pace you don't take, that's where I'll go. And remember, I said, be careful when you choose decisions that you're not looking at the outward appearance as opposed to the spiritual quality. Because a lot of us look at what it looks like on the outside and not what the spiritual quality is on the inside. Amen, somebody. Get last week's or 2 weeks ago sermon if that doesn't make sense to you. And yet, what Lot chose was the land of Sodom and Gomorrah. So now we come in chapter number 14 into a interesting start of the text that says, these kings fought against these kings. Let me just skip, I don't have a lot of time. Skip down to verse number 9. It says that the four kings fought against five kings. Look at verse number 9 in chapter number 14. It says these kings, and it names these kings, came up against Kedorlaomer, and a title king of the nations, and Amraphel, and Arioch, and these other kings. Four kings fought against five kings. They went to battle in the valley of Siddim. Now, here's the predicament. When the folk go to battle, there's usually casualties that happen that you are not directly responsible for. And let me say that. Let me say it this way. In the city of Trenton, we have surpassed the number of deaths that we have had, that we had in 2005 because of the rising tide of crime and violence and gangs and guns and the decreased number of police officers and law enforcement officers on the streets of Trenton. That is a recipe for disaster. Laying off police, not patrolling the streets of Trenton, and crime being allowed to rise. As a result of rising crime, we have now surpassed 31-32 deaths in a city that only has about 80,000 people. Per capita, Trenton ranks in the top 20 of the most violent cities when it comes to homicides. That is not a distinction that I would love for our capital city of New Jersey to have. And yet, I've got mothers and fathers and grandparents who are members of this church who have had loved ones who have been casualties of the rising epidemic of crime because some of them have simply been caught up in the wrong place at the wrong time and they have become casualties of somebody else's war.
Yeah, yeah.
You all are not with me on this thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I can start naming some of the names of young boys and young girls that we have buried, some from this church. I was at a funeral just not too long ago at the Union Baptist Church. Young man by the name of Kayron Jones, is that his name?
Yeah.
Who was shot in his own house, y'all.
Yeah.
He wasn't at a house party. He wasn't hanging out on a street corner. He was in his own house.
Yeah.
And these four men break in, shoot him, and murder him in his own house. 20-something years of age. Casualties of this rising war of craziness that's going on around us. There's a battle that's going on in the valley of Siddim. And it may not be the four kings versus the five kings, but in some cases it's the Bloods versus the Crips. It's this sect of the Bloods versus that sect of another Blood sect. It's the Inyettas and the Latin Kings versus some of the other gangs that are happening in the city of Trenton. And I am compelled to preach about it and to speak about it because they are not just somebody else's children, they're also our children. Come on, somebody. Anytime I bury a young black boy from this church, my mind goes to my own child. How would I react? How would Melanie react if that was our child in that casket? And yet when I look at Sharon Alford and some of the other members of this church, I'm reminded that this thing is touching too close to home. There's a valley, there's a battle in the valley, and we have to determine what is our response to the valley in the battle of Siddim. I'm using the text as a paradigm for what's happening in our contemporary society. And as a result of the battle of these kings, the Bible says Lot was taken captive. It says it right there in the text. It says in verse number, go keep reading down, verse number 8 and verse number 9 and verse number 10 and verse number 11 and verse number 12 says, they also took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom. They took Lot. Lot wasn't in the battle, but he happened to be living in the same place. He was caught up in the geopolitics of his day. And I'm convinced that there's some of our children who are just simply innocent on their way to school, on their way back from school, who are caught up in the geopolitics of what's going on in Trenton. A governor who won't help a mayor because he says the mayor does not earn his respect. Well, governor, I need you to look beyond the mayor and look at the children of Trenton, New Jersey, because our children are bigger than just one mayor who sits in the city hall. I need the state police and the attorney general to say this thing is bigger than one man in city hall. It's about our children who are being caught up in the geopolitics of our day. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
I'm telling you what the Lord loves, and that's the truth.
Yeah.
And so we who are people of faith need to determine what is our response to the valley, to the war that's going on in the valley of Sidim.
Yeah, yeah.
Are we just going to sit on the sidelines? Because the Bible says Lot was also taken captive. While we're over here debating at the State House and City Hall and in Washington, D.C., our children are being taken captive. While we're over here in the paralysis of analysis, our children are being taken captive. While we over here wondering whose responsibility it is, our children are being taken captive. And I don't know about you, but time out. Our children. It may not be your blood child, but we've got to determine, are they or are they not related and connected to us? And so it is. That's the predicament we find ourselves in. Thank you, Holy Ghost. And the second point then, after the predicament, is the pursuit. And I want you to look at the text as it makes it very plain. In verse number 13, somebody escaped. One of them lived. Listen, I'm one of those folk who came out of my block, out of my neighborhood of South Central LA. But for every one of me whom God had his hand on, for whatever reason, I can name you 100+ others who didn't survive, didn't escape. Trenton, South Central, South Chicago, Northeast Philly. There's always a few that escape. And yet when the one escaped, he came to Abram. And the story, I don't have time to get all into the scripture, but it simply says he escaped. He came to Abram and said, this is what happened. And look at what Abram did. Abram, in verse number 14, when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his 318 trained servants who were born in his own house and went in pursuit as far as Dan. Listen, Abram didn't wait for the attorney general, for the governor to tell the attorney general to put more state police on the streets of Trenton. Although we need that, he didn't wait for that. He said, come on, somebody. All I need is 318 good men who are trained in my own house. That means they know something about the Lord. They know how to get a prayer through. They know what it means to lift up holy hands to God and say, the Lord will fight my battle. They know how to step out on faith and believe that God will move mountains out of their way. They believe that God is a way maker and the burden bearer. Does anybody really believe that today? That God is a way maker and the burden bearer? So why are you waiting on the state police? You can do something about crime in your community. Why are you waiting on City Hall? You can do something about crime in your community. Why are you waiting on President Obama and Governor Christie and Mayor this and the Senator that? You can do something about your predicament. Abram trained his own force. Now listen, I'm going to be clear. He was particularly concerned about his brother's child.
Yes, he was.
But we too should be concerned about our brother's children.
That's right. Amen.
And we too should raise up some kind of force. I'm not talking about armed vigilantes. I'm talking about men and women of faith. I'm not talking about being armed with guns and machetes. I'm talking about being armed with the word of God, which is your sword. I heard mother say, put on the whole armor of God. Get dealt with yourself with the belt of truth. Put on the helmet of salvation. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Step out there and know that God is a battle axe in the middle of your battle, and he can fight your battle. But he needs somebody to stand up, somebody to say, for God I live and for God I die. I need, God is looking for somebody to say, all I'm doing is standing on the word of God. God is looking for a few good men and a few good women. It don't take a big army. It just
just take a few faithful folk who know something about the Lord. Do you know something about the Lord today? Has the Lord done anything for you? Has the Lord ever fought a battle for you? I don't know about you, but I've got a testimony about how the Lord fought my battles. I had enemies all around me, but the Lord fought my battle. The folk on that job thought they got you, but the Lord fought your battle. You thought the cancer got your body, but the Lord fought your battle. Has the Lord ever fought anybody's battle today? The Bible says that Abram got his posse together and they went in pursuit. That's where I got the title from. Go take back what the devil has taken from you. Some of us need to stop being afraid of the devil, because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love, a spirit of power, and a spirit of a sound mind. You can fight the devil, come on somebody, but you can't fight him by yourself. You better be prayed up, and you better be praised up. You better put on your whole armor, and you better go into some fasting. You can do more on your knees than you can with your hands. You can lift up a praise. You can lift up a look of a prayer. You can call on the name of the Lord and say, Lord, I stretch my hand to thee. No other help I know. If thy withdraw thyself from me, where shall I go? Fight my battle, Lord. Move the mountain, Lord. Build the bridge, Lord. Open the door, Lord. But you gotta pursue. Stop standing on the sidelines watching your marriage decay. Whatever you need to do, fight for your marriage. Stop standing on the sidelines watching your church disintegrate. Whatever you need to do, fight for your church. Stop standing on the sidelines watching your ministry implode. Whatever you need to do, fight for your ministry. I'm tired of Christians who don't have power, because the God I serve, it's a God of power. Stop standing on the sidelines and watching your children die. Get up. Pursue that which the devil is trying to destroy. Abram didn't sit on the sideline and let his brother's son just get swept up into the geopark. He got up, got some folk who believe like he believed, and went into pursuit. I know the devil's got a little bit of power, but God's got all power. I know the devil's got a little bit of influence, but God's got all influence. I know the devil's got a little bit of this and a little bit of that, but the God I serve is bigger. And so after Abram went into pursuit, the Bible says he overwhelmed the enemy, got his brother's son back, his nephew. And here's the part I want to end you on. After he got Lot back, here comes one of the defeated kings. I love it when
folk
want to come back around. Now that you got the victory, can I say that for somebody? Don't kick you to the curb. Don't stab you in the back. Don't left you for dead. But now that God has lifted you up, all your enemies want to come back around. All your family members want to be your friend. All your church buddies want to come back and hang out with you. But if you wasn't there fighting in the battle with me, get behind me, Satan. The king of Sodom says to Abram, why don't you come over here? Can I talk to you? Go to my third point, the promise. And look at what the Bible says. It says in verse number 17, the king of Sodom went out to meet Abram in the valley of Sheveh.
But look at what happened before they got together. Verse 18 says, then King Melchizedek, the king of Salem, and listen, I need you to go back and do a little word study. I can't do it right now. Salem is the root word that makes up Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the city that is fabled to be the new Jerusalem in which God, God the Son, our Jesus is going to come back. And John said, and I, John, saw the new Jerusalem descending out of the sky. You need to go back and do a word study on this thing. All the way back in Genesis, Abram says the king of Salem, who is a high priest, comes to Abram and blesses him. Listen, I love this part. And look at the blessing in verse number 19 and 20. He says, blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hands.
Yeah.
Remember, this is the same God that told Abram, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. That's what I need some of y'all to remember today, that the God that we serve said he'll take care of those who curse you. But you just gotta keep your hand in God's unchanging hand. Because the same God that will curse them is the same God that will bless you. I don't know about you, but I'm changing my mindset and stop worrying about my haters and my enemies. And I'm start focusing myself more on the God Most High. Because as long as I keep my eyes stayed on Jesus, he'll fight my battles. As long as I keep my eyes stayed on Jesus, he'll build bridges over troubled water. As long as I keep my eyes stayed on Jesus, he'll move mountains out of my way. As long as I keep my eyes stayed on Jesus, he'll put my enemies under my feet. I don't know about you. Stop giving too much energy to your haters and your backstabbers and your naysayers. You better look up to the God Most High, the God of heaven, the God of earth. If you just keep your eyes stayed on him, he'll make a way out of no way. God sent a priest to bless Abram because he knew that that demonic enemy, the devil, was about to tempt him again. Because if you read further now, the promise, I'll take care of you, Abram. That's the same promise that God is making to us today. He's going to take care of us.
Yes, he is.
Stop worrying about it. He's going to take care of us. Stop lamenting about it. He's going to take care of your situation. You just trust in him with all of your heart. My last point is the pronouncement.
Thank you, Jesus.
Point number 4. Verse number 20 and 21 and 22 and 23. What does 21 say? Put it up on the screen. The king of Sodom said to Abram, give me the persons and you keep the goods. Listen, y'all, I want you to get the depth of this thing. This thing did something to me. Now that he's the one who lost, but now that Abram won and got the people back. Listen, y'all, the king of Sodom, remember, which is the wicked land, came to Abram. Remember, he is a righteous man of God. And he says, keep the possessions, but give me the people. The devil don't want the gold. The devil don't want the guns. The devil want the people. The devil don't want the money. That's just a tool to get the people. The devil wants your soul. The devil wants the people. The devil wants our children. The devil wants your marriage. The devil wants your body. But look at what he says. Abram, because he remembered who he was,
Look at what he says. Put up verse number 23. It says, Abram said, I wait. Go back one, go back one, go back one, go back. Abram said, I have raised my hand to the Lord God,
yes,
Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth. He remembered who he is.
Yes,
he remembered whose he is. Come on, y'all. If you don't do nothing else, remember who you are and remember whose you are. Because there's going to be some folk that try to get you to lay your religion down. But remember who you are. And remember whose you are. You are a child of the King. You've been bought with a price. You've got the blood of Jesus all over you. This is the blessing of Abraham.
Abram responds. Put the screen up. That I will take nothing. Nothing that is yours. Because what the next verse says, lest you should say, you've made me rich.
Hallelujah.
Put it in 21st century vernacular. Abram said, I'm not going to sell my soul to the devil.
Because
I'm not going to let you think you made me.
That's right.
I'm not going to let you think you've got power over me.
Yeah.
I'm not going to let you think that I owe you something. I'm not going to let you think that I've compromised my religious integrity. I'm standing on the promises. And if you've got to take everything I've got, as long as I've got King Jesus, I don't need nobody else. You can take everything. Take everything. But as long as I've got my Jesus, I've got my integrity.
Hallelujah.
And I'm not going to give you the pleasure,
yeah,
of thinking that you did something to make me who I am. The God Most High brought me from a mighty long ways. The God Most High moved mountains out of my way. The God Most High built a bridge over troubled waters. The God Most High put my enemies under my feet. Am I helping anybody today? Don't tell your soul. Don't compromise your integrity. Stand on the promises of God. Go back.
Thank you, Jesus.
And take what the devil has tried to take from God.
Thank you, Lord.
This thing is relevant for us today in Trenton.
Yes, it is. Yes, yes.
But it is relevant for you in any situation in which you find yourself. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad I know who I am.
So glad.
And I'm so glad I know whose I am. And as long as I got breath in my body, I'm not going to compromise my integrity. I'm going to keep on preaching. I'm going to keep on standing. I'm going to keep on praying. I'm going to keep on fasting. I'm going to keep on believing. I'm going to keep on trusting. I'm going to keep on marching. I'm going to keep on looking. I'm going to keep on moving. I'm not going to let nothing turn me around. Because I know whose I am. And I know who I am. And so I stopped by to give you these points today. Based on Abram taking care of his brother's son, I believe it is a paradigm for all of us today, to learn how to walk by faith and not by sight. Somebody give God a praise offering in this place. Everybody standing on their feet. Everybody standing to their feet. Deacons and deaconess.
Thank you, Lord.
Ministers.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
I believe that this something may have been said to help somebody in their particular situation today. Don't know who you are and where you've come from and what you're going through, what you've been through. But I made up in my own mind It's time out for the small stuff. There are bigger things for God we got to do.
Oh, yes, there is.
And so if I only need 318, that's the folk I'm taking.
All right.
Because you don't need a lot of folk to do a great work for the Lord.
That's right.
Amen. I'm looking for the serious-minded person who's not sweating the small stuff. Because Abram said, my child, my brother's son is captive. And we've got to be in radical pursuit. And so God is looking for some folk today who are willing to lay down the small stuff and say, Lord, sign me up. Sign me up. And if you are one of those persons today who want to lay down the small stuff and come on forward and say, sign me up for the Lord's army.
Yes, yes, yes.
Not just join a church, but sign me up for the King's army. I want you to come on down.
Yes.
If you are a child of God already and you are looking for a church home, let me be real clear. I would love for you to join with us.
Oh, yes.
At the Shiloh Church. There are a lot of church members. There are a lot of members of a lot of people who are disaffected by church and just not understand that. But if you found a church that's believing the word of God and preaching it, then won't you come and share with us and not be out there by yourself.
That's right.
Lastly, if you want special prayer, any of these men and women standing in the aisles can pray for you. That's what they have been trained, ordained, and consecrated to do. You don't have to come down. You can just step out on the aisle. We'll pray for you right in the aisle. So as I've extended these three invitations, the choir's going to sing, and as they sing, I want someone to come forward today, whomever you are. If you want to join the church, or if you want to give your life to Christ, sing, choir, come on, lift up the voice in the name of Jesus. Anyone today? Anyone today? Anyone today? Anyone today? Anyone today?